superhighways, there's a place called Perfect. Welcome to Perfect, USA, where the only pressure is from the northerly breeze. There is no poison ivy or seven-year itch, and you only have to keep up with the Joneses on Saturdays, a town where everyone gives 110%, even when tipping, where windows are self-cleaning, and even though life never gives them lemons, people still make lemonade. The only crime is not having ice cream on your pie. Elevator music isn't the usual. Carpets never stain. And the local bank has hundreds of branches. Everyone loves it's baseball season.
Watch his slide in the background. Here, watch.
Bases there he goes. Cameras are always loaded.
Still sliding.
RBI stands for Really Big Ice Cream. And the home
still sliding.
Is
look at his suit.
Their uniforms.
Completely clean.
Treat.
I had such fun watching that slide because it's so easily missed. But, you know, he's just sliding and the dirt's flying and he gets up and his outfit is completely clean. It's a place called Perfect. Well, we had a perfect vacation. If you could go ahead and turn the lights back on up here. We had a perfect vacation. And thank you for covering for us while we were gone. And I know that distance makes the heart grow fonder, and it really does, doesn't it? Well, I missed you. The idea of a perfect vacation changes as we get older, doesn't it? Now that we've got our kids raised, Jeanette and I were like, you know, we're sitting in the RV thinking, okay, where are we gonna go? And I said, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm at the place where I just want to go. I would just want to go read some plaques. Because, you know, all of our lives we've been zipping through museums, you know, little kids tugging at us, and they're like, you know, come on, this is boring. And you never get to read the plaques. We just want to go to a place where we can read some plaques. Well, we didn't get to a place where we could read some plaques. Well, our goal was just to relax. We started off traveling. We stayed in Mendota the first night, scenic Mendota, Mendota Hills Campground. Got to see the rabbits and the chickens. I was told they have Easter there every week because there's rabbits running around everywhere. But anyway, from there we got on the interstate and we went to southern Illinois. And we pulled off of the interstate there where the exit takes you to Rend Lake, which is a beautiful, huge lake operated by the Army Corps of Engineers. And I felt a little miss in the RV. I felt something wasn't quite right. And I didn't want to say anything to Jeanette, but we stepped out of the RV and then I smelled diesel fuel. And again, I didn't want to say anything to Jeanette, and so we went on in and we registered, and by the way, they gave us the most perfect site. Someone had canceled. They had reserved and canceled, and so we got full hookup, beautiful site right on the lake. It was awesome. But it was tainted just a little bit by the smell of diesel fuel. And it was tainted just a little bit because I knew that there was something wrong under the doghouse. I was going to need to dig into. You know what you know what that's like? And I downplayed it to Jeanette. man, look at the site we've got. Isn't it beautiful? And pretty soon her dad came, who lives down in southern Illinois. Her dad came and he says, how's everything going? I said, great. He says, how's the bus running? I said, well, we got an eatsy beatsy little fuel leak. Oh. I said, you know, we're probably going to want to check that out. He said, yeah, you probably will, as it's running down toward the lake, the diesel fuel. And so we pulled off the doghouse, and sure enough, I was able to see what it was. We've got a 6.9. This is going to mean everything to some of you and nothing to most of you. But we have a 6.9 international engine in a 1983 Ford Turtle Top RV. It was missing on cylinder 4, which means that on a diesel you have a fuel injection line that runs from the fuel injection pump to cylinder 4, which meant I had to, follow me, Clinton, which meant I had to take that line off amongst all the other 7 and replace that line. I don't know why it was leaking, but it was leaking. So I didn't want to cast this sense of uncertainty on Jeanette and say, you know, nobody makes these anymore. And we could be here for the next 9 days and then not know how we're going to get home. But I started calling around and I thought, you know, surely somebody will have one. And I kept calling and everybody said, are you kidding? A 1983. We haven't had that stuff for 15 years. And I'm like, okay, I didn't text my dad. This was pre-knowledge of the heart thing. I didn't want to text my dad because then he'd get all worried, you know, and start making phone calls. And so I kept thinking, okay, what are we going to do? And you know, I'm still grilling hamburgers like everything's fine. And inside I'm going, oh, we could spend 9 days here. And actually, we've got to do something because we've only got it for 2. And then there's more people coming to this site. We got to do something. And we were able to move it, but it stunk really bad. You know, you don't want to do that in a campground. You know, drive around looking for another site and leave this trail of diesel smell and smoke and smog. You don't want to do that. It's not good. And so I kept calling. Nobody had one. And then we finally called a guy in Effingham who said, yeah, I can make you one. Thank God for old-fashioned craftsmen. Amen? You just made one. It fit like a glove. A few days ago, Jeanette and I were on the bike trail. I don't even remember where we were. We were in Kettle Moraine State Park in Wisconsin. And we were riding our bikes, and I got this phone call from Mom, which I missed because my phone was on silent. And then I picked it up, and I saw the text from Mom that said, call me when you can. And I knew that Mom wouldn't just, you know, call me because, you know, a fish died in our aquarium. And the certain tone in the text, and I was apprehensive to call, but I did. First thing she said was, Dad didn't want me to call you. But she's minimizing, you know, how I did with the diesel fuel line. Dad had a little spill on the carpet. He crashed, nosedived on the carpet. He's up and around. He's okay. There's no damage to the heart. However, I didn't want to call you. Dad told me I wanted to call you, but Dad didn't want me to call you. It's possible that they could deem that he'll have open heart surgery like right away. So they're going to tell us like within the next few hours whether or not he's going in for open heart. It's like, oh, just let us know and we'll be there. But Dad didn't want us to come home. And there's a picture of Dad with his new heart there at St. Anthony's this morning. And I know that what goes on in our lives sometimes is unexpected, and sometimes life can get really, really complicated really fast, and there was no warning. Dad did not have high cholesterol. Every time he went into the doctor to get it checked, everything was fine. He's healthy as a horse. All of his numbers are great. But today I want to talk about what Jesus said, and we want to talk about and hear what Jesus' words are in relationship to worry, which is different from concern and just regular attentiveness to a problem. You can be concerned and attentive to a problem and not worry, but there is a difference. Attentiveness and concern simply weighs the gravity of a situation to assess and determine appropriate action. Amen? I think we would see concern on the face of Jesus in light of some of the stuff going on in our world today, drug abuse, sexual immorality, corruption in high places, and violence against the innocent. This is concern. And we would see it on the face of God. We'd see it on the face of Jesus. And I'm sure the people seen it on his face as he was concerned about the condition of that the world was in as he walked the dusty roads. Parents get concerned when they see their kids trading things that they'll never get back for moments of perceived acceptance. Kids get concerned when they see their classmates get bullied and the teacher's not looking. The worry is different than concern. One of the dictionaries I read said, worry is to give way to anxiety or unease, allowing one's mind to dwell on difficulty or problems or troubles. In other words, he worried about his soldier. He worried about his soldier sons in the war. But I thought this next phase of meaning was particularly interesting. Worry means to tear at, to gnaw on, or to drag around with the teeth. Let me read that again. Worry means to tear at, to gnaw on, or drag around with the teeth, as in, I found my dog contently worrying on a bone. Now that's the kind of worrying that I get, right? It can feel like you're being chewed on, gnawed on. It's a state of anxiety and uncertainty over actual or just perceived problems. And everybody said amen, right? We're masters at perceiving the worst that could happen. And I've been told that the worst that can happen is doesn't happen very often. But that's where our mind goes, doesn't it? Or perhaps you worry a bit more like this. In this little clip that I'm going to show, you remember the movie What About Bob? Bill Murray's trying to prepare himself to leave his home in the morning. And after he's greeted his fish, Gil, he begins to psych himself up to leave his home in the morning to go to work or whatever he does.
Wish me luck, Gil.
Have you ever obsessively dwelled on difficulty or troubles? This is what psychologists have referred to as toxic worry. Go ahead and turn the lights back on. A paralyzing emotion leading to a self-perpetuating cycle of fear and anxiety. And there's more to it than simply taking baby steps, as was the prescription in the movie. And while the Pope had many good things to say this week, I took some notes from another great pontificator, Daryl Trotter, my dad, while he was preparing for one of the greatest challenges of his life. He said, I'm not worried. And he didn't know I was preaching on worry this morning. He said, I'm not worried. It's all in the Lord's hands. And then he said, I'm concerned, but I'm not worried. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34 this morning. Jesus said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, and which is here today and tomorrow's thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. Wow. Isn't that life for the soul right there? Especially for those of you who are a little bit wound up this morning. And in fact, it's even difficult to listen this morning because you're keyed up about something. I understand it. I've been there, I've done that, I know what you're going through. But Jesus is teaching us that it doesn't have to be that way. You and I don't have to go through life so worried, so anxious-ridden, so tied up in knots about the future that we become ineffective and just a basket of case of nerves. You know, the older I get and the closer I get to heaven, the more I realize I probably just need to give up on the idea that I'm going to have a perfect day. I probably just need, in the morning, just resign myself to remember that I live in a sin-fallen world and life is not probably going to go the way that I want it to go for everything. Now, some things it does, and other things it doesn't. And I get all tensed up when I try to face life head on on my terms, rather than doing what the Bible teaches. That while I'm on earth here, rather than focus on the circumstances, I need to focus on who Jesus is. Amen. I can focus on how great God is and how much he loves me. Amen. Toxic worry. How many of you remember Space Invaders? Okay. Go ahead and play a clip. There you go. Space Invaders. This is from a few years ago. All right, here's the setup. Yeah, this is pretty crude digital work here, but it's old, all right? Okay, you're the guy on the bottom. And all of these aliens are attacking. But you've got bullets. It's okay. An inexhaustible supply of bullets. And you've got defenses. And for a while at least at the beginning, you think, I can do this. And then they intensify. The music gets faster. They start moving faster. They start dropping more bullets. And then this red thing comes out of nowhere, makes a loud noise, and has deadly accuracy. And you're getting keyed up. You're not sure you can do this anymore. And they're dropping more bullets. And your defenses are eroding. And then that red thing shows up again. This was high tech 30 years ago. And your defenses are eroding, and you're not sure you can make it, and they're getting closer, and your heart is pumping. And how do you get that thing? Oh, 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 it's gonna. Oh. Well done, Earthling. This time you win. How many of you can say, that's my life? You know, Jesus had 33 years to get all psyched up and to get all anxious about the cross. He had 33 years to dread and worry about what was coming. Was he concerned? Yes. You can see that in his prayers. Oh, Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. And he sweat drops like blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. But even so, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Think about the things that you're worrying about today. Are you facing them in the perspective of the kingdom of God and in the glory of the presence of God this morning? Would this thing matter if you had first sought his face and his hand to be at work intervening on your behalf in your life? You see, I like to meet the enemy on my terms, and I like to fight him in warfare. Because I'm how old am I? 49. I have not yet. My default mode is still not completely set yet. That God will fight for me. And God is the winner of every battle. And I still pick up useless weapons against the enemy and engage him in combat, and think that I can win, and I can't. The Apostle Paul said that our battle is not with flesh and blood. And we go to work and we think, you're the enemy. I'm going to get you today. You're not even going to see it coming. Jesus said it's not about that. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. Our battle is with principalities. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, says our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's not space invaders. That's the spiritual battle that you and I are facing every day in the fight against right and wrong and the devil's warfare to get your soul for eternity. There's a lot at stake here. Amen? Worry really boils down to one thing: unbelief. I know that may sound cruel, harsh, hard, like Bill was saying this morning. But here it is. If we're worried, we're not believing. We're not believing in God's love, and we're not believing in his power. Jesus said, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you drink, your body, or your clothes. Well, wait a minute. Every commercial on TV is telling me to worry about my life, my body, my clothes, my food, my drink, my car. Jesus said, don't worry about these things. Well, what else is there to worry about? That's a really good question. Don't we get so keyed up? Oh. What are we doing? Well, we are either buying the line of consumerism will make you happy, or have this delusion that we can fight this enemy all on our own. Why don't you need to worry? Well, because God loves you and He is fully capable. Amen. And He loves you like a father loves his son. Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. Look at them. They don't toil or spin. They fly around. But your Heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you much more valuable than they? Now, don't get me wrong. This is not a way around you needing to be productive every day, right? We need to get stuff done. We need to get her done. The fact is, being productive does not always produce a weekly paycheck. But we still need to be productive in our lives. You may be at a place in your life when the most productive thing you can do is not earn money, but do something else to build a solid foundation for your family. Amen? Being productive with our time may just, it's part of God's plan. Not being productive with our time is going to invite worry as well, anxiety. But life is hard, isn't it? I'm reminded of Counselor Lucy as she's doing some psychoanalysis on Charlie Brown. As she's sitting there under her, the doctor is in. She's talking to Charlie Brown. She says, life is like a lounge chair on your deck. Some place it so that they can see where they are going, and some place it so that they can see where they've been, and some place it so they can see where they're at present. And Charlie Brown says, I can't even get mine unfolded. Life is hard. I really question anybody who says, I got this thing called life. You can think of me as a weak Christian, but I'm telling you, life, in my experience, it's not easy. But God is good. Amen. And I am confident of His love for me. Trouble and difficulty come to everybody. It's what the Bible says. James 1:2 talks about, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Those words, many kinds, means, it's translated many kinds, but it comes from a root word meaning multifaceted or multicolored. It means that trials and troubles can come at us from any which way in life. And sometimes we're just mystified that thing just came up out of nowhere. This morning, my mom was driving to come and meet some friends at the back of our building, and they were going to take her to Rockford to be with Dad this morning. And she called me. She made it into town, and she said, John, the car is making a terrible noise. I'm up here by the Presbyterian Church. I said, I'll be right there. So got in the car. She had a flat tire this morning. What? Really? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith worketh perseverance. And when perseverance has done its perfect work, God will have completed His will in you. Amen? Warren Wiersbe says, our values determine our evaluations. If we value comfort more than character, trials will upset us. If we value the material and physical more than the spiritual, we'll not be able to count it pure joy. Now, in my flesh, I was not looking at that tire saying, awesome! But in my spirit, I was not worried. Because it's still sitting there on the side of the road right now, and I'll get to it. It's not hurting anything. And I could have traded today's joy for a flat tire. But I didn't. Thank God. And I'm really glad that today the joy of the Lord is present in your life and mine. I hope it is in yours. Consider the lilies of the field, Jesus said. You know, because in that place called perfect, there are no automobile accidents, there's no disabling diseases, there's no overdue bills, there's no rebellious teenagers, there's no jobs that you hate, there's no jobs that you lose, there are no cars that break down, there are no houses that need painting, there are no toilets that get plugged, there are no long-winded preachers, and your dinner is always cooked just right, right on time. Wouldn't you like to live there? Well, yeah. You know why we want to live there? Because that's the environment that we were created to live in. But we chose something else. In the Garden of Eden, God said, "This is yours. I love you. Let's talk and enjoy life together." And then we said, I have some things I want to do first. And that brought about sin into our life and into the world. And literally, like a virus, goes around affecting healthy cells. That's what sin does. There's no way around it. So today we live in an imperfect world, but our spirits know there's something better, and that's called heaven. Amen. Amen. Woo. I'm going to go there. It's real because my spirit says, this here, out there, ain't right. Amen. My spirit knows, and so does yours, that the sin stuff is wrong, but there is one who is coming who will make it right, who has paid the price already with his blood so that he can deliver me from the sixth spirit of bondage and I can be at home forever with him. John Quincy Adams held more important offices than anyone else in history in the U.S. He served with distinction as president, senator, congressman, minister to European powers, and participated in various capacities in the American Revolution, the War of 1812, and the events leading to the Civil War. Yet at age 70, with much behind him, he wrote, "My whole life has been a succession of disappointments. I can scarcely recollect a single instance of success in anything I ever undertook." What a demonstration of our inability to ever reach a place of perfection, at least in our own minds, right here on earth. Remember the story of Job. Troubles and trials will come, and the devil will do all he can to steal your joy, to steal your life, but at the end, after the houses are gone, the cars are gone, and everybody laughs at you and thinks you're a weirdo, will you still love God? Even with the calm assurance that Jesus is always near us and with us, there are still times when we tend to worry about things. How often have we missed his blessing because we're too fearful to follow? Like Bob in that movie, What About Bob? If we're to wake up in the morning and stop to think about all the things that could possibly go wrong today, we would be immobilized with fear and anxiety. But we do not have to live that way. Amen. I know it's a very simple message, but perhaps we just may need to be reminded of it from time to time. God loves you, and He is able. Would you just join me in applying that to every anxiety-provoking little... What are them little bugs? I've been hearing people say, can't see them or don't see them. What? No see them. Does that, what does that mean? They're not invisible? They're invisible? You can't see them, right? Can you see them? Without a microscope, can you see them if you were, you can, okay. Well, you know what? I like the term because that just really describes worry and anxiety-provoking situations. Damn, swarmed with no-see-ums today. Huh? Going through life, I don't know. What's wrong with you? I don't know. I can't see them. But they're getting me. They're biting me. They're bringing me down. They're going to carry me off. That wasn't in the notes, Cody. Sorry. Consider the lilies, the fowls of the air, fish of the sea. Look how carefully God takes care of them. How much more will He take care of you? I want you to write on the chalkboard of your mind right now the thing that you're worried about, or the no-see-ums that are just swarming you right now. Because those things are like a disease. Steal your joy. And doesn't it feel like they can strike your whole spirit and body with dread and fear? I'm here to tell you today there's an antidote to that disease of anxiety and fear. Jesus said, by the way, the song Don't Worry, Be Happy is a great song. I was going to play it this morning, and I thought, they'll be expecting that. Do, 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 don't worry. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 don't worry. The landlord says the rent is late. He might have to litigate. Don't worry. Do, 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 do. It leaves me on the edge of my seat because I'm like, is that all there is to it? Just don't worry. No, that's not all there is to it. That's why the song is not quite right. It's a great song, but it's not quite right. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these things that you've been worrying about, food, clothes, shelter, cars, all will be added to you as well. So it's not that you're letting go of those concerns altogether. It's that you are rather prioritizing in your life where your attention is going to be. So take that chalkboard of your life and all the stuff you've written on it, and above it write, yeah, but God loves me, and He is fully capable. Amen? So believe that God loves you and He is fully capable, and seek. Believe and seek. First, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Worship team, would you come on up this morning? Did you get where you needed to go today with the Holy Spirit? Because we don't have to close this thing. Why don't we pray first? Because I know that nothing will seize a person up more than worry, because I'm an expert. Let's pray. Under the guise of I got this and it's my responsibility and I really have to take care of this, we run around like chickens with our heads cut off. When you're saying, I've got this, you don't have this, I got it. So rather, Lord, than disregard these things, we do attend to them, but we rather prioritize where our attention will lie. To seek you. To seek your face. To seek the kingdom of God and your righteousness. So, Lord, we seek you today. First and foremost, we seek you. Thank you for these moments of quietness where our souls can breathe and we can process and make fully informed, wise spiritual decisions. Thank you, Lord. We breathe now in the antidote to the disease of worry, and we seek you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing. As morning dawns and evening fades, you'd inspire songs of praise that arise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Let's sing that again. As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that arise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Jesus in Your name we pray. Come and fill our hearts today. Lord, give us strength to live for you and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. You know what? There's a chorus we need to sing before we go. It goes like this. You know what it is, don't you? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Seek his face, seek his name. Put it all into the name of Jesus. Amen. He is worthy. Have a great, great week. There's nothing to worry about. Amen. Woo! Thank you for coming this morning. You are dismissed.